and your patience, possess ye your souls. I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord's words this morning from the Gospel have been variously understood over the history of Christian interpretation of them. Some have seen in them a forecast of the end times, when followers of the Lord will endure a great tribulation, followed by the last judgment. Others have seen his words as fulfilled in a long ago past, after our Lord's death, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. The one view suggests that the passage is really about future things, not really relatable to us. They might be fodder for the student of esoteric passages of Scripture, but not for you nor me. The other view seems to relegate the Scripture as a mere record of past events, a book of history. The Bible is indeed about past events. It does record them. And the prophets certainly did signify future things in order to inflame the people of God with hope. But that is not really the heart of the Bible. It's neither a crystal ball into which we look, nor is it simply a book of history. In the opening of St. John's Gospel, we hear about the eternal Word, the Word who was with God and was indeed God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word, of course, is our Lord Jesus. That eternal and divine word always has a word to speak to you and to me because it dwells in the eternal present, the eternal now, where there is no past nor future. I believe our Lord's words are speaking something to us today about the fact that we live in a world of mutable things, things that change and decay, and to which we can become too attached. When we get attached, we can begin to think that mutable things are immutable, and then it becomes a matter of time before our trust is shattered. Two times in the history of the nation of Israel, the people of God thought and acted as if the temple were immutable. Two times that temple was destroyed and razed to its foundation. The first was in 586 by the Babylonians, who proceeded then to carry the survivors off into exile in Babylon. The second was in AD 70, when the Romans destroyed the temple and effectively drove the Jews out of Palestine. After the year 70, the temple would never again be rebuilt, even down to our own day. All that remains of it today is that western wall where pious Jews go to pray in the old city. It would be difficult to overestimate the importance of these events on the formation of Judaism and Christianity. The day on which the temples were destroyed, this is a very sad fact of history, it was the same day that both the first and second temples were destroyed. That day is still commemorated every year by pious Jews. And I would estimate that about a quarter of the Old Testament relates to that first destruction of the temple. In the New Testament, we have numerous references, allusions to the destruction of the second temple. And that is really the heart of our Lord's message today. We're told that the Lord and his disciples are in the temple, and they see the noble stones, they see the gifts. And Jesus says that the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another. Of course, our Lord is saying something far more profound than merely a historical note about the future destruction of the temple. Our Lord was reminding his disciples, reminding us, that we live in a world of change and decay and death. Now, if you'd been in that temple in AD 30 with our Lord and his disciples, it would have been difficult to imagine its destruction in just a few short decades. The stones that formed its foundation on the western wall are hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds in weight. Could such a building really be destroyed? It can, and it was. In the same way, there are many things in our lives that appear immune to change and decay. They may appear as sturdy as a heavy boulder. They may even seem invincible. I think our good health is like that. When we are in good health and our loved ones are in good health, it seems like it's never going to end. But of course, this is not the truth of what happens in life. I was driving by Fort Monmouth the other day and noticed how the weeds and the volunteer trees, the maples and the oaks, are starting to make their way through the macadam parking lots. That which appears to be so permanent is, in a relatively short time of neglect, quickly breaking down. That we live in such a world of change and decay is a fact, my friends, that is unavoidable. But our Lord gives us particular instructions. First, he tells us that it will happen. He tells us that this is the way the world is. These goodly stones, these gifts, will come to destruction. This truth teaches us to put our trust in that, or rather him, who does not change. It's fine to enjoy something that is impermanent as long as you don't think that it's never going to go away, it's never going to break or change. Rather, we are called to worship a God in spirit and in truth, a God who does not change, who does not dwell in temples made with hands. In the final verse of the second to last verse of our concluding hymn this morning, we're going to acknowledge this truth when we say, or when we sing, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. The sons of time come to an end, but God does not. There's a second important point here, though. Our Lord tells his disciples, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. It's not probably a saying of our Lord that we've given a lot of thought to or maybe considered in its full meaning. But here's the good news. Your soul is your own, and your makers who gave it to you. But too often our souls are possessed by things other than ourselves. Fear, for one, can arrest the soul. And fear, instead of living by the principles that you know are right, you react to perceived threats and contingencies, many of which will never come to pass. Our souls can also be consumed by fear, by despondency and despair, because we're living in a world where temples come falling down. St. Paul tells us not to set our mind on earthly things, that if we are risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Your life is more than mammon. Our Lord, it tells his disciples that the world will hate them and will persecute him. But he also tells them, don't be afraid of those who can hurt the body, but cannot hurt the soul. My friends, your soul is your own. And believe it or not, no one or nothing can make you do something that you don't want to do. In this world of change and decay, in this age of discord and factionalism, in this time of uncertainty, as indeed all times are, our Lord tells us to possess our souls in patience. Don't let fear or sin or despair possess your soul. Live as if you are free, because you are. Live as a child of the King, because you are. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.